Oh, yes. Thank you. Isn't it great when you... Rotors. Rotors, when they work, are fabulous. Rotors, when they don't quite work and you end up nearly doing everything, are a blessing. Where's my iPod gone? There we go. Yeah, Alex sends her apologies. She woke up this morning not very good at all, which she's disappointed with because she had some great things to share this morning. Hopefully... You know, she'll be able to share some of that. Al will not get it over quite how she did. I might be able to put some of it in. But it'll not quite have her edge, because she's very good. So if you've got your Bibles with you, would you open them up, turn them on, swipe right, find your app, or flick your pages to Isaiah chapter 43. And I love it when... I was saying to a couple of people this morning, because I've got a pounding headache, and Alex isn't very well, and I was planning worship, and then we're planning this, and then we're doing all this other stuff. And I said, you know, I love that, because if God does anything, I know it's God, and I know it's nothing to do with me. Yeah? So if you get anything out of this morning, it's God, and it's nothing to do with me. All right? Now, in Isaiah 43, and we'll look at verse 19. And this is a scripture that I really like. I like because it's very positive. And it says, see, I am doing a new thing. Anybody like new things? Some people don't like new things. I know the new is always a bit scary sometimes. But when God does it, it's normally pretty good. Yeah? Yeah. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And yeah, I love that verse. That verse has some great stuff in it. And here, what's happening is Isaiah is writing here, and he's speaking to the people of Israel. And it's for when they're in exile in Babylon, but they aren't there yet. In these passages, this bit in Isaiah, God's speaking to them for something they're going to need that they're not yet going through. That's why you should take notes in church. Because it might not be for you for right now, but it might be in a week's time, or a month's time, or 4 years down the road, and you're going, oh, what did Pete say 4 years ago? That would have been really encouraging if I'd written it down. So there you go. Take notes in church. You never know when they might help you out. And what it's saying here is he's giving them what they need to go through something they've not yet been through. And the verses that lead up to this moment, if you have a flick back, especially from verse 15, and God says, see, I am the one, Israel's creator, their king. He tells them who he is. And then he starts to list the things that he's done for them. He says, I'm the one that made a way through the sea, made a way through the desert. And, you know, you can imagine the people of Israel, they're in Babylon, they're in exile, and they're reading this, and they're remembering the generations past, and they're remembering all the good things that God did for them. It's like we've been hearing this morning, good things that God's done for us, the testimonies that are amazing, and they're going, yeah, it was amazing, yeah, God made a way where there was no way. You know, we were singing it just a minute ago, and I believe you'll do it again. And they're getting really excited. You can imagine the people they're in exile, but they're going, you know what? Now, we've seen God move. He's brought us out of Egypt. He brought us across the Red Sea. He brought us through the wilderness and into the promised land. And we're going to believe that he's going to do it again. He's going to bring us out of exile. And then you get to verse 18, and God says, and now forget it. Hang on a minute. What? I'm just getting really encouraged here because, you know, you can imagine the people getting all riled up. Duh, 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 and I believe I'll see you do it again. Now forget it. What? What? What's God doing there? And he says, forget the former things. Forget the former things. In verse 19, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And it seems a little odd, doesn't it, that God would encourage them through what Isaiah is writing to remember and then forget. But what he's really saying is, remember what I've done. Remember that I made a way for you. Remember that I rescued you. Remember that I provided for you. Just forget the way that I did it. And this morning, we want to look at unhindered expectation. Unhindered expectation. You know, God wants us to live lives of expectation. He wants us to live lives that are ready and excited and prepared and just like, God, what are you going to do this morning? I'm so ready. You know, the Thy Kingdom Come initiative. You know, we can go into that and we can go into other prayer initiatives and be like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's great. We can pray and then we can believe and but things might not happen. But no, we need to go in with a great expectation. But for a few minutes this morning, I want to look at unhindered expectation. What is it that we need to let go of that hinders us in our expectations? Where we can get to a point where we can see God move and we can believe for things. Will we dare to believe? That's three people nodding their head. Anybody else willing to dare to believe? Yeah, for some good stuff to happen. You know, in we look back at what happened in 2017. You know, and we dared to believe for some stuff. And we saw some incredible things happen. I was looking for them this morning, but I couldn't find them. But our cardboard testimonies that we did at the beginning of the year, that stack of cardboard of things that God's done in people's lives over the last year, they're amazing. But how many know that's not it? That's not the end. 2018, there's going to be more. And I'm expecting to see double that, treble that. You know, how far do you want to dare to believe and be expectant that God's going to do something? And a couple of things that can hinder us in our expectation. Number one, unbelief. Unbelief. You know, I love those particular songs that we sing, like we've sung this morning, where, you know, we're really declaring and we're really believing for stuff. You know, I believe that you're the God of miracles. And I believe, and I'll see you do it again. And you make a way where there was no way. And it riles up my spirit. It rallies my spirit. It gets me ready. I'm going, yeah, come on. My soul's going, come on. I can go and defeat anybody right now because I'm pumped. I'm ready to go. But you know what? My unbelief can get in the way. Stephen Furtick, he's a pastor of a church called Elevation in America. And we sing some of their songs here at City Church. And he was sharing on some of this stuff one time. And he was talking about, you know, this passage where in Isaiah, God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? And then he was talking from Romans. And he's talking about, you know how much God loves us? Anybody know how much God loves you? Good. This is good. You know, you're allowed to respond. Just for a moment. Will you just do me one thing? Stop being English. Stop being nice and reserved and we'll sit and we'll smile and we'll take some notes. I don't want that. Get up and down. Jump. Get excited. Come on. Shout at me. I'll take it. I'm good for it. You know, it encourages me, if not anybody else in the room. Thank you. Yeah, come on. You know, and he's sharing that nothing can get in the way of God's love. And in Romans 8:39, it says, nothing can keep us from the love of God, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all of creation. I'll take that last bit for a minute. In all of creation, there is absolutely nothing that can get between God's love for you and you seeing God's love worked out in your life. Absolutely nothing. Except, Stephen Furtick says, and I believe with him, your unbelief. He says all of it can be true. All of it. You know, all God's promises for you can be true. But if you don't believe that it's true, then it won't be true for you. You know, we can sing and we can shout about it, but when you go home, you really don't think that God is going to do a new thing, then you'll stay stuck in what was. We need to break off that unbelief. We need to break out of that thought that, oh, no, you know, God won't do it for me. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I messed up a few times. Maybe you haven't seen it yet, which is why you think it won't happen. You've got to shake that mentality. Break out of that. Go, no, you know what? No, my Bible tells me that all his promises are good. That his purpose for my life is good. That he has a plan for me. He has a purpose for my life. And I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see the things that he's spoken over my life come to fruition. I think some people this morning need to hear that. Shake off that thought, that doubt. No, it's not going to happen, because it is. But it'll only happen, thank you, Jesus, if we listen. And if we believe. Yeah? We don't just sing these songs because they're a nice tune. We don't just sing these songs because they've got a nice guitar line to them. And they make us feel good inside, because that's what music can do. But we sing them because they're truth. You know, we look because there's a whole plethora of songs all the time now. New songs coming out, which are amazing. And if we let our own selves, talking about me and some of the other worship leaders, if we let our own selves get in the way, we could end up doing new songs every week, and that's not helpful. But we look and we go, well, what is this song saying? What are the words in this song? What, as a church, are we going to be declaring that's truth, that's going to build us up, that's something we believe in? Yeah? So first, our unbelief, which leads into our second thing that can hinder us, is our experiences. Now, experiences, both good and bad, can be a hindrance. And I'll explain why in a minute. You know, bad experiences, obviously, you know, you go and do something, you have a negative experience, then your expectation, if you go and do that again, is going to be negative, isn't it? You go to a restaurant a number of times and it's always the same dodgy food. You're not going to want to go back. Somebody says, oh, let's go eat there. You go, no. My experience says that my expectation is going to be really low. So that's obvious. You know, negative experiences can impact our expectation. But what about the positive experiences? Now, I love testimony. I love sharing what God's done for us. And that's great, because that encourages us in our walk. That encourages us in what's going on. But go back to Isaiah 43 for a moment. You know, and he's been reminding them of all the good stuff, reminding them of the miracles that they've seen, and then says, forget it. For a moment, think about what God's done in your life, the good stuff, where he's made a way. Where you've seen miracles, where you've seen God's intervention in your life, whether it's the moment that you got saved, the moment you got healed, the moment you saw a breakthrough. And then he says in verse 18, forget it. Don't let your experiences hinder your expectation of what God can do. Because he can do more than our experiences will let us think that he can do. You know, when we see God do something and heal in a certain way, it can become our expectation that if we get sick the same way again, that God will heal the same way. And that's not necessarily true. Yes, he could, but he doesn't want you to think like that. You know, every time I get a headache and I pray, and I say, God, you know, I'm believing, I'm expecting that you can get rid of this headache. And then by the grace of God, somebody puts some paracetamol in my hand and God heals me that way. That's amazing. But if my expectation is that paracetamol is going to do it every time, then I'm limiting what God can do in my life. If my expectation isn't, you know what, God, if you want to, you can do it like that. I'm putting God into a box. And I don't want to do that, because God's bigger than a box. Yeah? Good, that's four people. Fabulous. You know, we can be waiting on God to bring a breakthrough the same way that he did before. Maybe it's in your finances. you know, and God's provided for you a particular way, and that's amazing. Don't forget that. Don't forget that God's provided for you. Just forget how he provided for you. If you are in a need, a financial need again, and you're calling out to God, don't expect him to do it the way he did it before. Because he might be just over here saying, see, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? It's right here, and your eyes are focused on the past. Your eyes are focused on the way that I provided before, but I'm right here trying to bless you. And you're not looking at it because you're too busy looking this way. So he says, forget it. Remember that I provided for you. Remember that I'm a provider. Just forget the way I provided because I'm doing a new thing. Third thing is our dreams. You say, hang on a minute, how do dreams hinder your expectation? Because aren't you supposed to dream big? In staff devotions this week, I asked the team, I said, think about an aspect of your life in 2020. Just an aspect of your life, whether it's particular relationships, whether it's your home life, whether it's at work, whether it's within church. So think about that aspect of your life for a moment. And I said, got them to do a pictorial or diagrammatic representation of where they could see it in 2020. So we had some pictures, we had some diagrams. And then we chatted about it, and I said to them this, I asked them this question. I said, are you dreaming big enough? Are you dreaming big enough? Because we know that no dream is too big. Well, I do anyway. I don't know about anybody else. But especially when God's concerned, no dream is too big. You know, we're always, or I seem to be, always being reminded to dream bigger. Because we know God will go above and beyond all we can ask, dream, think, or imagine. It's in Ephesians 3, verse 20. So dream big. If your dreams are little dreams, and they're not dreams to see amazing stuff, you're putting God in a box of going, well, yeah, I could go above that, but if you dream bigger, just you can't even comprehend what I'm going to do yet. So we need to dream big. The Passion Translation of the Bible in Ephesians 3:20 says this: never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. How wild's your imagination this morning? How crazy are your dreams? Because I tell you, if they're not crazy, they're not crazy enough. You need to dream bigger. Yeah? If you're believing for a job, believe for a better job. Now, that's not to say go and quit your job because, you know, you're waiting for a better one. Stick where you are, and when God provides, that's great. But how big are you dreaming? You know, when we think about the church, how big are we dreaming? You know, is it that we just fill the chairs that we've got and that'd be all nice? Or are we dreaming to see two or three times the amount that we need multiple services in multiple campuses with multiple teams? That we're reaching not just this community that we're in the locality of, but we're reaching every community. Cleethorpes, Grimsby, Immingham, all of Northeast Lincolnshire, which is what we believe that God has called us to. If our dreams and our expectation goes to, well, wouldn't it be nice if a few neighbours around us came into church? That's not big enough. Because God will go, yeah, all right. How about that street over there? I'll give you that street. That's nice. No, if my dream isn't to see all of Northeast Lincolnshire reached for Christ, then it's not big enough. We need to dream bigger. I don't know what your dreams are and what you're dreaming for, but dream bigger. You know, we said our expectation of God is limited by our past experience, what's happened or what's not happened, but let's not let our past be the definition of our future. Yeah? Whatever God's done, whether your experience is positive or negative, don't let that be your definition of what is in front of you. Because God has infinitely more. infinitely more. We need to be open and we need to be willing. We need to be faith-filled enough to expect God to do more as we expect more. As we expect, as we ask, we dream, we think, we imagine. Because God will do more. You know, the way he provides will be different. The way he heals will be different. The way he manifests that healing will be different. The way, you know, he renews relationships may be different to what you're expecting. You know, when we come together in our small groups, Sunday mornings, every time we gather together, what's your expectation of what God might do? Church, can I encourage you to come with an expectation of, I'm ready to be blown away. I'm ready to see miracles. I'm ready to see blind eyes opened. If it doesn't happen, that doesn't matter. You know, that's up to God. But if my expectation isn't, when I come to church and I give it my all, and I'm believing that he can do the best, the very best that he can do, that he's not going to change lives, bring renewal, see lives restored, heal limbs, yeah? Bring miracles right in our very moments, then we're not expecting big enough. Yeah? Would you stand? We're going to pray. Team, you can come back. And what we wanted to do this morning is we wanted to leave time just to minister. If there's things that you are believing for, if there's things that you are needing breakthrough in, then we want to stand with you with a raised level of unhindered expectation that God's going to bring a breakthrough. You know, and if you come into these moments of, you know what, God, you could do it right now, and that's where you're believing, he might just do it. Now, wouldn't that be a shock to some people? You know, you've come for prayer 17 million times over for the same thing, but your faith level and you're believing and you're thinking, well, no, maybe he will, maybe he won't. He's not done it before. You know what? Come again. Come again with an expectation of, you know what, God, if you want to do it, you can do it right now. You know, and he might just do it. Yeah. So, James, why don't you just play something? Just play something in the background. Give us some nice, ethereal, Holy Spirit music. Church, why don't we just pray? Father, I'm so thankful for my past experiences. Father, I'm so thankful for the times that I've seen you move. I'm so thankful for the times that I've seen miracles happen, for the times that I've seen breakthrough come. But Father, let that not hinder my expectation of what's to follow. Lord, and I pray for each of us in this room, Lord, that we would be in the same place. That if there's a breakthrough that we need, if there's a healing that we need, if it's a restoration of relationships, if it's a restoration of family that we're believing for, whatever your breakthrough is, let's dare to believe that God can do it in this moment. Let's come with an expectation of, you know what, my God is far above all things. And in him all things are made and have their being. You know, and his name is higher above every other name. And at his name, every knee will bow. Whether that's sickness, whether that's a negative thought, whether that's any other kind of hindrance, they will bow at the name of Jesus. So Lord, we bring these things before you this morning. Lord, and we say, do it again. Provide again. Heal again. Restore again. Save again. Would you make a way where there was no way?